This could be potentially painful.
Potentially painful is right. Not even potentially. This is going to be painful, at least for me. Colby and I have very different rituals in the morning. So tenemos rituales matutinos muy diferentes, Colby y yo. Colby eats breakfast. He looks at the newspaper. He has his coffee, right?
Yeah.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah. But just coffee. At that time in the morning, all I do is have coffee.
Oh, you don't eat? You don't make toast or anything?
No.
You don't actually eat breakfast?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
At that time, no.
No?
Just
all right.
A huge cup of coffee, Sandra.
So.
I like my breakfast. I have a two-part breakfast.
Tiene desayuno en dos etapas, Mr. Price. So I don't eat anything. I wake up and run and jump in the shower, get out of the shower, put my clothes on and get in the car. And if I'm lucky, I have an amazing husband and he makes me coffee and I put it in a thermos. And as we speak, I'm drinking. I still have some of that coffee. So
right.
Those are our breakfast rituals.
Now that you know, we're going to talk about, you know, oddly enough, there is a National Breakfast Week.
Really?
It is actually a thing.
Okay.
Existe de verdad. And it was recently. Mm-hmm. So, Sandra, we took a look at an article by the Independent, British newspaper, talking about what people eat around the world for breakfast. And again, we said in the intro, we often get the question, because both British people and American people are famous for hearty breakfasts.
Sí, tienen fama de desayunar bien, de desayunos contundentes. Hearty breakfasts.
And I don't want to give too much away here because we're going to talk about the English fry up here in a minute. Yeah, and it is good. do you really eat that every day for breakfast? I've had so many students over the years say, uy, ¿cómo te tiene que costar ese montón de tortillitas a las cinco de la mañana?
Tortitas.
Yeah. I was thinking of Cameroon.
I know.
We just talked about that. No, we don't do that.
No, that's, you know, reserved for weekends and usually special occasions.
Do you know, in my house, the biggest breakfast of the year? Mother's Day.
Really? Mm-hmm. El Día de la Madre?
Mm-hmm. Oh. My son and I go all out.
Oh, that's so nice. Very thoughtful.
Tiramos la casa por la ventana en el Día de la Madre en nuestra casa.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So, and we asked also at the top of the show what you preferred, sweet or salty. And remember, salty, you could also say savory. So when you talk about something, comer dulce o salado, sweet or salty or sweet or savory.
Yeah. But not to call a pirate. You'd have to call a pirate a salty dog, not
That's
a savory
right.
dog.
That's right.
All right. I'm sweet.
I'm salty.
Yeah, I need sugar in the morning.
All right. Okay, so.
Well, Sandra, guess what?
What?
I'm going to have a rough time in our first destination, in our first country.
All right.
And specifically city, Tokyo, Japan. As Tokyo residents get ready for the rat race.
Ah, the rat race, ese día a día, la carrera.
They like to fuel up on the traditional Japanese breakfast of miso soup with rice and sides. What's a side dish?
A side dish is algo que acompaña al plato principal.
Natto, which is fermented soybeans. Nori, which is seaweed. And that's usually what they use to wrap sushi.
That's right.
And tamagoyaki, which is a bit like an omelet.
Okay, so algo parecido a una tortilla francesa, digamos.
Yeah.
That sounds
Whoa,
good.
Too salty for me, man. I would suffer in Japan. I could not eat miso soup and fermented soybeans for breakfast.
It's very
just me.
Nutritious.
But as they say, Sandra, when in Rome, do as the Romans do.
Exactly. So, cuando en Roma te veas, haz lo que vieras, or something like that. I'm horrible with sayings.
I know you are. But could you eat that for breakfast?
I could. Maybe not every day. I'm looking at a bowl of miso soup right now. I love miso soup. It might get old for me. I like, but again, I'm sure they have different things they eat. But I could eat that for breakfast. I wouldn't mind at all. What about India? Do you have any idea what they eat for breakfast in India?
I'm thinking lassi.
Lassie.
That yogurt drink they make, like mango yogurt smoothie, basically, is what I'm thinking.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Colby. So I'm going to talk about southern India. They traditionally breakfast on dosa, which is kind of like a crepe type fried batter. And you'll see that in a lot of countries, there's an equivalent to the churro. So, tienen como un equivalente al churro or something
almost
like
every
that.
Every culture,
yeah,
because we're all smart people,
yes,
have some sort of fried dough.
Exactly.
Todo el mundo tiene una masa frita en alguna forma.
Exactly.
Sea, whether it's a donut or a churro or...
or a dosa.
Bagnette or something, bagnier.
Yeah. So, remember, a dough is thicker, a batter is thinner. It's more liquidy. This is a crepe-type fried batter that is rolled and usually filled with potato.
Wow.
So, es, pues eso, como una especie de churro relleno de patata. And it's served with chutney. This sounds so good. Chutney and samba. And we're not talking about music here. Could you imagine Indians dancing samba in the morning? It's served with chutney and samba, which is a vegetable stew or curry. So they go savory as well in India. And that sounds amazing.
All right. What about Jerusalem and Israel, Sandra? I guess the traditional Israeli breakfast has taken its inspiration from that working Israeli farm, the kibbutz.
Mm-hmm.
So a kibbutz-style breakfast is what people go to.
Okay.
It's served in hotels and restaurants across the country.
Es lo típico que se sirve es el como desayuno tradicional de las granjas israelíes.
And oddly enough, you know, a city that didn't make this list, but this reminded me of a city that's supposed to have a spectacular multi-course breakfast.
Uh-huh.
Which is usually only done on the weekends, is Istanbul.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, Sandra, in the traditional Israeli breakfast or the kibbutz breakfast, you'll find dishes like shakshuka, which are eggs cooked in a spicy tomato sauce.
Mm, that sounds good, too.
As well as smoked fish, cheese, and vegetables.
Wow. All right.
So again...
Three for three.
Three for three. That's what I was going to say. Going for salty.
El mundo es muy salado. All right.
I think things are about to change, though.
I think so, too, because we're heading towards Europe and particularly Rome in Italy. So no day in Italy is complete without coffee. They are coffee addicts. So adictos al café. I might even say more than Spaniards. And Spaniards like their coffee.
I don't think anybody takes their coffee more seriously than Italians, Sandra.
I have to agree. So people in Rome start their day with a cappuccino. Okay.
And remember, go ahead.
That you should not order a cappuccino outside of breakfast time. It's frowned upon. So se van a reír un poco de tu estado de turista si pides un cappuccino después del desayuno.
And I have to admit, I made this mistake. Yes, I ordered a cappuccino thinking I was cooler. Pensando incluso que molaba más que los americanos americanísimos at the next table.
Yeah, no.
Because I said it in Italian. I said, hey, due cappuccino, per favore.
Did you use your Italian accent on top of it?
I don't know.
Oh.
But the guy was probably just like, get me out of here. I should have been a farmer.
Tourist.
Tenía que haberme dedicado a la agricultura.
All right. So that's right. Don't order a cappuccino outside of breakfast times. You can order them, though, however, at breakfast at any of the city's numerous busy espresso bars. And breakfast, or what they call the colazione, will be traditional continental fare. So typical desayuno continental, pastries, breads, cheeses, hams, and fruit.
Now, you and I often talk about the best hotel breakfast we've ever had, and we probably won't get into that today.
Okay.
But I have to admit, I stayed at a hotel in Italy, Sandra, whose breakfast was way beyond the rest of the hotel as far as level. Yeah. The breakfast was spectacular. The hotel was good, but the breakfast was world class. They take their breakfast pretty seriously. Though, I think day-to-day Italians are more like Spaniards in that I bet they eat an cappuccino and like a cornetto or something like that. Not the ice cream, but like
a type of pastry, like a napolitana kind of like a or a croissant
or something like that, or a brioche or something like that. That I'm assuming is the traditional Italian breakfast.
One of the in Italy also on an island, Ischia, I had for the first time it was lemon juice for breakfast. It was so good. It was amazing.
Sandra?
Yes.
I think most people, when they debate on whether or not English food is horrible or not, which I don't think it is, will at some point end up debating the English breakfast. All right? You'll start off with fish and chips, maybe talk a little bit about curry, but you'll end up, vas a acabar debatiendo the good old English fry up. Be it at a greasy spoon. So this whole concept of greasy spoon, I'm not sure exists in Spain. What's a greasy spoon?
A greasy
cuchara grasienta.
Sí, una cuchara grasienta. A greasy spoon is, pues, restaurante de toda la vida, no muy elegante, particularmente.
Basically, Sandra, it's often used to describe a diner.
Exactly.
So it's un restaurante bueno.
Uh-huh.
La comida es buena.
Yeah.
Sana no es. No, y el sitio no destaca por su pulcritud. Yes.
Exactly.
Be it at a local greasy spoon or a fine hotel, Sandra, breakfast in the UK is dominated by the full English breakfast, which is some combination of bacon, eggs, sausage, mushrooms, beans, hash browns, tomatoes, and black pudding.
So black pudding, remember, is like morcilla. Okay, lo llaman pudín negro.
And what are hash browns?
Hash browns? So there are different ways of preparing hash browns, but basically it's like grated potatoes, so como patata rallada, and then fried up or grilled up. Okay, right. And they're delicious.
And Sandra, if you have a big breakfast like this in the U.S., you'll be drinking a bottomless cup of coffee at a diner. But obviously in the U.K., you're going to be drinking a big mug of
hot tea. Steaming hot tea. They love their tea. Yep. This is something I picked up from our Scottish colleagues. My friend Cheryl got me into drinking Tetley's tea. It's delicious. I love a good English fry up. Also in Northern Ireland.
Ireland's pretty similar.
It was basically that, but they had different types of bread. They had several different types of bread that were just amazing.
Because, Sandra, I don't know off the top of my head when we get to the U.S., what we'll be talking about. It'll be a little different. But this concept, obviously, the U.S. was a colony of Britain. We have a kind of a combination plate at a diner. So there's a diner I love to go to in my neighborhood in Seattle. And basically, you choose the type of potato, the type of sausage or pork product you want, the type of bread you want, and then you can often add something like pancake, waffle, or French toast, which is like a torrija.
Exactly. Oh, this is making me so hungry.
Well, this is probably, we'll probably, after this list is so long, we'll probably divide it into two groups.
Okay.
So this might be the last one that we do today. So
you're going to go somewhere exotic.
Your pain is just about over.
All right. So Senegal, Colby, and Dakar, they wake up with a cup of toba.
I wonder what that is.
I will tell you. It is a type of coffee that is spiked with a peppery grain called Djar. So it's D-J-A-R. So it's cafe.
I hated him in Star Wars.
Djar.
Didn't like him.
So es eso, es café y le echan este grano que es un poco apimentado, que se llama Djar. D-J-A-R. D-J-A-R. And they accompany that with fruit and pastries or a baguette. So this is a leftover of French colonialism. So
that's something I love about Vietnamese food, Sandra. You've had it before, the Vietnamese sub. So they have, because amazing. The French were also there as a colonial power for many years, the baguette has become part of Vietnamese cuisine. And they make a very good sandwich with a French baguette.
What is it called? The banh mi? No, what? I can't remember what the name of those sandwiches is. But yes, a Vietnamese sub. So in Senegal, they have that. They still use baguette.
Okay, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Tokyo, India, Jerusalem, Rome, London, Dakar. From what we've seen so far, Sandra, imagine you could have one of them delivered to the station right when we finish the show. What would it be?
I'm going to London, baby, and I'm going to have a greasy spoon English fry up. Oh, my God. That sounds so good right now.
I might go with Dakar here.
Dakar?
If I could have fruit and pastries and one of these Tuba coffees. Okay. I think that's what I would do.
Okay. So, fry up.
Senator, you've been to La Alberca, haven't you?
I have.
Do you know?
A good breakfast there.
That's what I was going to say. So, in La Alberca, that's where we do our Puerto Inglés programs. Mm-hmm. And we have people from all over the world, obviously. We have Spanish participants.
Yes.
All right. And they are there cohabitating with an Anglo, Anglos, 20-something people from all around the English-speaking world.
That's right.
You have to keep those people happy, Sandra. There's a lot of different tastes there. Consequently, the breakfast at La Alberca is quite spectacular. It is a combination of the English fry-up